Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we like to invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I am always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there are any guests or topics that you would like to see in future episodes, and you can do that by reaching out to live@nimsy.com. If you are not already done so, make sure that you are subscribed to NIMSY Insights, either on YouTube, X, Facebook, Instagram, all of that stuff. But we are coming to you live primarily on LinkedIn, where we do the LinkedIn Live. So follow us on LinkedIn, and you can catch past episodes in our archive over on the NIMSY Insights YouTube channel. And enough about that. I'm going to jump right into it today and introduce the topic. You've seen it in the title. We're talking about multimedia. We're talking about the changes happening in multimedia localization because of AI. And we're diving into it, one of the fastest areas in localization right now. As video, audio, and interactive content continue to dominate global communication, the way we localize that content is changing just as quickly. AI is opening up entirely new possibilities, from automated dubbing and voice synthesis to scalable content adaptation, but it's also raising important questions about quality, authenticity, and where humans still need to stay in the loop. To help us unpack all of this, I am joined today by Jay Lohman, founder of Voice Sonic Labs. Jay has been working at the intersection of AI, voice technology, and localization, helping companies rethink how they approach multimedia content for global audiences. Jay, welcome to NIMSY Live.
Hey, Tucker. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me on. Looking forward to having a good discussion with you today.
Yeah, me as well. I love talking about this, especially, spoiler alert for those listening, stay tuned, because Jay just told me before this that maybe he's not as big of a proponent for AI as I would think he is. So I kind of want to dive right into that and not bury the lead here. But before we do that, tell me a little bit about your background. I gave you a very brief introduction, but what's the type of work that you do over at Voice Sonic Labs? Like, who are your customers? Who do you work with, and what do you do for them?
Yeah, so I'll just give you a quick insight into my career. I started in voiceovers 25 years ago. Got the gray hairs to prove it, as you can see. And I started my first company in 2007, which was a boring product, but a very cool product at the time, called On Hold Marketing, mm-hmm. where you call a business, you're transferred, you're placed on hold, you hear the professional voice artist script, et cetera, et cetera. And then in 2017, the market really took a dive. It really changed due to the fact of technology. More traffic was being driven to social media, websites, and many other mediums. So I was quite lucky. Me and my team saw that, you know, at some point the OHM was going to really start to dwindle. So we sold the company in 2019, had a year off, lived like a rock star, got bored, and then moved into voice AI, which I actually tripped over by meeting someone when I was on vacation. They were like, "Have you ever heard of text-to-speech?" I'm like, "No, what's that?" So in 2020...
I always say the best stories about how people get into this industry are those of us that came into it by accident.
100%. And, you know, I haven't looked back since. In the past 5.5 years, we've built multiple products, within the text-to-speech arena. Had a mobile application first and foremost, which did really well. Then we pivoted to like a desktop version, two products, one for text-to-speech, one for dubbing and lip-syncing. This was 3 years ago. So, you know, we learned a lot during that period, you know, because really over the past 18 months, this is now starting to become, you know, it's at the forefront of a lot of localization. So, you know, we were in it before. We were in the trenches. We learned a lot, had a lot of experience, listened to our audience, our clients to really sort of define what our purpose is as a company, uh-huh. what our product should offer. And we learned quite early on that they don't want all of our specific clients, which I'll elaborate on, don't want all of these fancy features. They just want good product at a great output for text-to-speech, dubbing and lip syncing. And We've now spent the past 15 months building VSL, which offers a very, very simplified UI and sits right on the end of post-production. We're not here to disrupt editing suites that production houses are using. They've been using them for many years. They're comfortable, they're happy. We just, as I said, we just bolt on at the end, and you can select multiple languages and scale that content, within hours rather than days and sometimes weeks, and being from a voiceover background where we had studios in the US, UK, and in Southeast Asia, it's very expensive. And I believe from what I hear now, it's getting more expensive, which, for us is great for our clients, because what we're seeing is a pivot from what we saw 3 years ago, where the technology wasn't ready for the market, but the market's now starting to get ready for the technology. And they're both,
Expectations are shifting, right?
Definitely.
And you're in this position where, and I think a convergence of things had to happen in order for us to get to where we're at today, right? A, the technology had to get to a certain point, right? B, but coming from the other way, B, the clients had to be ready for that point. People had to lower, society as a whole had to lower their expectations around what it means to have quality. And what that's around, right? And I think C too, I know we're going to talk about AI within the context of multimedia, but also AI within the context of everything else in like a localization budget is freeing up budgets to ha tackle localization projects, i.e. multimedia, that previously would not be feasible to do. So all of these things are kind of happening together to see this boom, if you want to call it that, of new and exciting projects and new types of projects coming out.
Yeah, definitely. And what I've seen over the past 3 years, and what we spoke about before we went on air, is unfortunately there's a lot of hype around voice AI, and has been for 3 years. And what you mentioned, I'm an advocate of AI in many forms. But what I'm not an advocate of is mis-selling and like over-promising and under-delivering. And that's why we're scaling in a good way right now, because we're managing expectations, and we're not here to, and when I first started in this 5 years ago, there was a lot of kickback on, oh, you're trying to take over a human's job. We had a lot of voice artists. I had many messages across all of our platforms, not attacking me, but giving me their opinion, which is fine. What we're here to do is to let people know that AI isn't here to do that. AI right now is in a position where we can support humans. Humans can support AI and find a balance of that equilibrium of where, because voice AI isn't it, like I see it on a daily basis, and I have to put my head in my hands and say, so I see so many different things of, people saying voice AI is there now, it's ready. It's far from it. And our goal is,
Tell me then, right? Our challenge is going to be, you say so many interesting things, I forget five questions before I get a chance to ask one. But tell me, I'm going to interrupt. Like, what are some common misconceptions that you see? Let's not call them, we could uncharitably call them bullshit opinions, but we're not going to. We're going to say unrealistic or misinformed and expectations.
I think it's down. I think it's inexperience. A lot of the products that are out there have, jumped on the bandwagon, and I'm a firm believer in supporting my peers and other companies. But unfortunately, like you see, like many companies, oh, we've got over 100 languages. We can do this, we can do that. And then when you actually use the tools, it's not quite like what they say. And for me, that is obviously poor judgment to do that. So,
But can I make an observation that in
please.
my not knowing anything, but just hearing what I've heard so far, that is an example of developer-led development, meaning a bunch of developers get in a room, say, this is what we think will be cool, and they make a product. And the product might be awesome, but the user experience sucks, and it might not be what's needed by the end user. Whereas what I'm understanding about the way y'all have kind of done things, it's more like client need led. So you have existing clients and they've led you and you've gotten, I know, because I've gone with clients down this path before. You guys have walked together on a journey and you have real solutions that were developed for this client but might be applicable to these other clients. So it's like you actually know that most clients don't need 99 languages. So why would I invest in 99 languages when I can invest in 20 languages and make them really darn good?
I completely agree, and that's pretty much what I would say. In my own words, the way that the market is right now is we're running in the opposite direction to the majority. The reason for that is we're taking more of a sniper approach to our client base. Our client base right now, and we have limitations. We're very clear and we're very transparent on what we can do and what we can't do. And that's why, our team, our sales team are having, tens of conversations on a weekly basis, because we're not here, to use your term and one of mine, we're not bullshitting people. We're saying, we can do this. This is what, like right now, we can do up to 30 minutes of dubbing and lip syncing. After that, it starts to lose. Even sometimes within that 30 minutes, it's still losing, because we're still building, and we our clients are building with us. Why? Because we're listening to them. We're not adding ridiculous features that they're never going to use. And we're just in a position now with the 5 years of experience, both from our own mistakes and also the conversations that we have on a daily basis with prospective clients, our existing client base, that they just want tools that work. They just want tools that are accurate.
Well,
They
that
just
work
want.
that solve their very, very specific need.
It's not rocket
Right?
science, right? And that's why we won't spread ourselves too thin. We would rather have 30 languages available now. We could have more, but what's the point in having languages that are not there yet?
Well,
What's the
of
point?
course you could have more. And that's kind of the problem here. Because if you can easily add more, a lot of other. Creating a AI-driven dubbing company, as long as you're not too concerned with that end user, the actual needs of the end users, and as long as you're not too concerned with giving a quality product and a service, I mean, you could set one up and in a couple weeks. You just plug into other people's technology and white
Quite
label
instantly.
it and done, right? So like the barrier to entry to have a AI dubbing company, very low, right?
Definitely. It's easily replicable. I can't even say the word right now.
Replicable,
It's even easily replicated. I'll use that one. And so, for us, our UI is so simple to use. What we learned wasn't, and I'll just give you a very quick story. We put a survey out about 3 years ago. It was when I was getting excited, and I didn't have pushback from our development team.
Oh,
Now I do.
the honeymoon phase of every
Oh, I
founder.
was like, oh,
When
let that
your word
text.
was the word of God and everything was
Oh, well,
good.
they were, to be honest, they were a young team. We've changed teams now. They were a young team, and they were, whatever I said go when that they agreed with, and that when I was at that stage, I was okay with it. Now I have a team that go, Jay, yeah,
Well,
that's not
good.
gonna
It means you've
work.
hired people smarter than you. That's what
Well,
I
it's
tell
taken us
myself,
15
right?
months. And that's what I want. I want people to question me. I want people to, to come to me and say, look, what we're doing right now, we need to maybe switch a little bit and move. And I'm like, yeah, let's have them conversations. So, for me, definitely quality over quantity. And just touching on the sort of side of where someone can build a rapport straight away, yeah, they can. But it's really down to sales and marketing and knowing your market, right? Because you can have, like you say, 100 languages. You could pretty much replicate what 11 labs are doing, but it's about your knowledge of that marketplace. And if you don't really have a market, don't have a knowledge of that marketplace, and you might have a lot of money, and what you'll eventually do as a company, and without naming any names, because I've seen it over the past 3 years, is they create a revolving door, like a high street bank. They lose 1,000 or a few thousand users. They put a post, they put a marketing campaign out, and they can gain it again. Our goal is the complete opposite. Again, we would rather have quality clients rather than users that might stay for a month or two and then, discard us and then move on to the next. So, it's all about retention. It's all about quality of product. And for me, what really puts us in our own category is because we actually listen and communicate with, you know, we don't, we, it's our marketplace, but these are like, this is a family for us. We grow as long as we're doing the right things for our family and the market.
Right on. I want to go back, just provide some additional context, because we keep saying you're listening to your users, your customers, not who are your users? Who are your customers? Like, tell us about that, just to paint a picture, like as we're talking about, because different user segments are going to have different needs.
Definitely. And I got asked this yesterday by a VC, and they were like, what about this type? What about this, like, you know, ideal client profile, or, you know, what's your ideal client? And I said, right now we're focusing on three areas. Our clients predominantly right now are media agencies, media agencies that are licensing content. So I can speak for I'll give you one example. There's a company in India that's one of our clients, and they have licensing agreements with National Geographic, Discovery, Cartoon Network, and many, many more. And they're currently, or what they were doing, sorry, was they were spending tens of thousands a month to localize that content traditionally. And we see right now that where we are as VS, well, where VSL is, it fits perfectly with short form. Now, everyone has their own sort of understanding of what short form is, but we can handle, like I said, you know, up to 30 minutes. And where we see ourselves is that we can have multiple characters on the screen. So the agencies that we're really targeting right now are the agencies that are localizing for global content. And I'm sure you already know this, like 70 plus percent of video content is consumed in English, which blows my mind, right? It's absolutely crazy. So we're educating people as well, but, you know, without going off on too much of a tangent, maybe we could come back to that, is right now media agencies, we're seeing a lot of demand for AI micro dramas, particularly coming out of China and India as well.
Yes, I've noticed these showing up in
These
my
are,
algorithm.
oh, well,
Thank you,
they're
sir, for
like,
being part of the problem.
yeah, they're. I was blown away a couple of months ago with one of our clients, and they were like, can we, is this possible? I was like, all right, let's try it. And I was like, that's AI. And you could spot it a mile away, right? You know, and this is the thing,
Yeah,
but
you can. My
people are
10-year-old
consuming it.
can't, but anyways, that's another podcast
Yeah,
with
people
the
are consuming it. They're
yeah.
making
Yeah.
the agencies are making money from it. So, you know, we'll continue to support them. And as we grow throughout the course of this year, then we can add additional sort of time on what we're doing. We can add more actors on screen, you know, and the goal realistically by
What are the limiting, you say, like, oh, we can do 30 minutes. Like, you're telling it, you're what you're doing is you're being transparent about this is our sweet spot, right? So like, oh,
100%.
we can do 30 minutes, oh, we can do multiple actors, but like, what's the limiting factor preventing you from saying our sweet spot is up to 60 minutes? Is it just you don't want to go there because content is moving more towards short form, or what?
That's a good question. I think I've actually haven't looked at it from the way that you've just mentioned it. Our goal is right now, the limitations are 30 minutes, right? You're seeing a lot of short form content because of those limitations. So for us, why would we give a product to our clients
That they
that
don't
isn't
need.
stable enough? Just like we see it. I see it on a daily
Oh, that
basis, you
isn't
know.
stable. Okay.
That's probably the
No,
number one
well,
reason.
I understand that, but what's the limiting factor to make it more stable? Is it the technology just isn't there yet?
Technology, money,
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
There's
Technology
a couple.
limitations seem to disappear quickly if you have enough money, I've
Yeah,
noticed.
exactly. You know,
Right?
yeah, exactly. But even if you look at some of these larger, you know, companies out there that, you know, their lip syncing is really good, the localization's really good, but they're like 15-second clips. Like one of our clients was using Kling,
Right.
and they were because it does 15-second clips. So they were putting a micro drama together, and it was taking multiple cuts and stitching to get that to where it needed to be. Where now with VSL, it was like 7 or 8 minutes long. That can be done in less than an hour, and it was taking them long time, 2 or 3 days to do it.
And
And they
dear
were
Lord,
burning for a week.
I'm sure it's going to be better quality too, just from a
Of
consistency
course.
standpoint. Yeah.
Of course. Well, yeah, that's the goal with what we offer is to get VSL to a point of where you like some of the content that our clients and users are creating. You can't It's very difficult to distinguish between AI and real, right? But you can still see it, with a trained eye and a good ear. I'm
Yeah.
sure you and many people in the audience, that are watching as well, they, we can hear the poor intonations, the nuances, and I can hear it a mile off within the first few seconds or first few words, I can hear that it's AI. So, that's sort of a goal of ours is to get it to the point of where, people aren't going, right, yep, that's AI. So that's,
Yeah.
another one of our targets and goals this year.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. So, people have been talking out there around the AI bubble, right? I'm sure you've heard these conversations saying, oh, this is a big bubble, everything's going to collapse. And I don't disagree with that side of the conversation. Not that anyone's asking my opinion, right? I'm not an economist. But the reason I don't disagree with it is because of what we're talking about so far, is so much of the AI to this point in time has been like what you would refer to as hype, right?
Yeah,
And
100%.
people hear me say it all the time, is that probably 12 months, up until around 12 months ago, when a guest would come on the show and want to talk about AI, they'd want to show a PowerPoint presentation. Now
Right.
people want to show demos. So it's
Yeah.
actually moving into practice, which is cool. And that's what I'd say. I know you were doing it before it was cool, but all of the people trying to catch up, right? Up until about 18 months ago is when it started moving into practice, by my estimation. And the interesting side effect of that was that after people started consuming it, they realized kind of that it wasn't good, right? It wasn't actually going to fulfill, like, all of those promises in the PowerPoint presentation from 2 years ago aren't actually being fulfilled in this. And I think there's this kind of disillusionment that's growing. Have you noticed any of that? I'm talking to prospects, talking to customers, talking to anyone, a growing sense of wariness or disillusionment with AI?
Yeah, I think because we've been in the space for 5 years, and we were there like in the basement when text to speech first started to come around, to move on to like sort of the broader side of AI. I've seen it on numerous occasions in the bubble. There's a bubble in every walk of life, right? Especially within
Fair,
products,
fair, yeah.
right? And what happened was there was a lot of hype 2022, 2023. And then it went ridiculous, and like that my whole feed on all of my social platforms was just AI, and everyone was burnt out by it, right? Everyone. The reason why we saw so much was there were so many, maybe not the term cowboys is correct, but there were so many people that were looking to make a quick buck from it, right? They made a bit of money. It's like anything, when anything ever starts and there's hype around it, people want to invest in it, people want to
Whether it's
consume it,
Bitcoin, drop
right?
shipping, the
All
metaverse,
of the craziness,
yeah.
right? And in the past 5 years, what I've seen is initially people were blown away by the technology. Then 2.5 years after that, people were so like, yeah, I'm bored of this now. Just get rid of it. We're not interested. And then what I've seen now is we're sort of leaning towards quality rather than quantity, even though there's a lot of still ridiculous amounts of AI out there that's not really what people want. So on the bubble side of it, I think that will within the next couple of years, I think what we'll see is a detachment from the hype to the real companies that are doing this for the right reasons and not just out there to make money. Obviously, businesses are there to make money, but they have genuine reasons behind why they're building the technologies that they are, the products that they are. So for me, I think people are really not that bothered now, like because their feeds are not overloaded with AI content. Well, mine's not anymore, which I've managed to get the algo to keep that away from me. But I think the bubble will happen, and there'll be a big shift away from the crappy tools that are out there to tools that are actually beneficial for us, you know, mere mortals as humans, to give us an opportunity to actually advance. But yeah, I think right now the AI is a really interesting space, and I'm seeing more great products. And that's what I love. I love innovation, but that innovation shouldn't
Forever.
be built on hype. That innovation should be built on proof and you know,
Well,
on what can
and actual
be.
customer needs, actual solutions to actual problems,
Definitely, 100%.
not like solutions to problems that don't exist, right?
Yeah,
Which I've
just,
seen a lot of in the last few years.
yeah,
So
definitely.
with AI, because it's technology based. So I come from, and a lot of my listeners here are come from the localization industry, right? And AI
Okay.
is with machine translation. Machine translation has been around for a long time, but now we're
Yes.
seeing more disruption with AI being what a generative AI and large language models to kind of changing the way that we do things as an industry. And I don't want to go too deep into localization, but I do want to say that what it's done, I've noticed, is it's really reinvigorated a desire of client-side localization programs to develop their own services in-house. Why do I need to use this vendor when I can just do this in-house? I've always seen versions of that. People wanting to basically do all of the translations in-house and not hire an LSP. But now it's reinvigorated that conversation because language is becoming more of a tech problem than a human problem. At least that's the perception. Don't get mad in the comments, people, at me saying that. So it's reinvigorating that. And I guess my question to you is, how do you respond to that? Like, is that wise? Because I know absolutely how I respond to someone saying, yeah, we want to in-house our translation program, or even we want to in-house, we want to run our own machine translation engines in-house. We don't want to purchase translation or machine translation engines. I know my response to that 9 times out of 10. I don't know how to respond to that when we're talking about multimedia and like voice AI and stuff like that. Should a company like Disney, should they even consider building their own solution, or should they work with an external party?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think that there's multiple answers to that. But what I'll try to do is define and give you sort of my experience. So I think when you see these large companies throwing a lot of money into AI, in particular localization, you know, we're seeing that vendors right now that are sort of sitting in the enterprise side of localization, they're not really that interested to have their own tech to build their own LLMs and, you know, and other things that are obviously going to be beneficial to
The
them.
client or
So
their current vendors?
I think the clients don't are not really from my experience. I could be well, I wouldn't say completely wrong because I've
No,
experienced
well,
it.
you're not wrong. It's your perspective.
Yeah.
I have my perspective. I kind of gave you my perspective. Now I want to
Okay.
hear. It might be completely
Yeah.
different. Everything's flipped. You're in Australia. I'm in the US, right? So.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing for me is that I see it that, you know, that there's going to be an area where there's companies that want to do that, right? It's already happening. Not will happen, it's already happening. But the problem you have there then is you're really moving in as a client or as a company that's wishing to take that on board. You're moving into new territory. You're having to spend a ridiculous amount of money to actually get that to the point of where it's actually working the way that it should. So I think that on a provider side, that there's the lower hanging fruit, like the SMEs that will need the providers. Then you have the large enterprise where I would think maybe a small percentage would like to have their own in-house tech when it co comes to localization. But I don't see there being a massive shift towards companies actually wanting to do that in-house. So, you know, for me, another thing just to add to that, a little bit of a add-on to the to your question, that I don't think that voice AI and localization in with being supported by AI, it's still 3 to 5, maybe even longer than that, to the point of where it's going to be near perfect. I think it could be a little bit longer than that, to be honest,
Say
because so many languages.
three to five years.
Yeah, 3 to 5 years. I really don't think there's that many languages. There's that
Well,
many
we're
dialects.
so spoiled with the current craziness rate of change that AI,
Yeah.
because the one thing AI has changed universally, it hasn't changed. Change is a constant. Everything has
Yes.
always changed. AI has changed the rate of change. Everything's gotten faster.
100%.
And the fact
Yeah.
that we're sitting here today and saying, oh man, it's going to be like 3 or 5 years before it's near perfect. Wow. Like we would not be talking in those terms 5 years ago.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That sort of, I'm looking at it from both sides of the fence. I'm looking at it like 3 to 5 years is still a long way because we've been in obviously the industry for 5 years, and that won't be far off putting us into the 10-year bracket. And we've seen obviously a lot of advancements in the technology. But I still think even in 3 to 5 years that, that there's so much work that needs to be done on this. Yeah, there'll be languages there, predominantly English speaking languages, and for me, I think what our goal is, and we're a long way off, as I've mentioned, is to remove the borders with languages. I think that would, looking at it from a personal side, bring the world together, create
Yeah.
some more unity.
That's why
But I
a
think that's
lot
a big thing for me,
yeah, that's why a lot of us got into this industry in the first place,
Yeah, I
because
love that.
we're the type of
That's
people
me.
that like building connections. And what
Yeah,
better way to
100%.
build connections than, helping people communicate, right?
Yeah, I've lived all over the world over, well, pretty much since I was 18, and I love speaking and embracing and experiencing different languages, different cultures, because it's good. It teaches you things.
It
It
does
gives you
about
life
yourself.
experiences, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to help. Over my time, I'm 48 now, and over the next 5 to 10 years, if I can look back on my legacy within my career, it will definitely be to get it to a point of where we can bring the world together through language. I'm going to put that on my gravestone. It sounds
I
quite
love
cool.
it. That's why so many of us get in here. I got into this industry really with a love of cultures and travel and stuff. But frankly, it was, I think, a love of language, because I was that
Yes.
language nerd that loved learning other languages. And one thing that I think about quite a bit, actually, is will people in the future even need to learn languages?
Yeah.
Like,
That's
I
where
can't
that's.
tell my son, like, oh, you should take German classes to learn German. Why would I waste his time like that? Unless he's like actually going to marry a German, live in Germany, or do something like that, work for a German company. But why would I was, which breaks my heart. Why? Because through the act of learning a language, you also learn so much about that culture and other people.
Definitely. Yeah, there's so much there's so much depth to languages, and that's another thing of why it's really important for us to at VSL to understand that, to convey that, and to not dilute what languages offer, more to add substance to it. And I
Yeah.
think we keep that at the forefront of why we're doing what we're doing. Then we'll learn a lot over the coming years with VSL.
I have a question. So here's I want to ask this question. And then after that, I want to go into, because previously you were talking about like the readiness of where we're at of different technologies. So I wanted to go into a conversation like, what technologies are there and how ready are they on the readiness scales? Like TTS. Pretty darn good, like 8, 9, right? Voice, emotional acting, emotions with voice. Where are we with, that kind of stuff. But before that, I want to cover something because I know it's people, listeners, this is important to people and it's important to me. What advice do you have to voice actors out there right now?
Yeah, I love that. And over the past 5 years, I've spoken to many. We had on our roster when we in my previous company, we had like over 200 voice actors. So I've built relationships with these people. I still speak to a lot of them now, and they see the space that we're in. And my advice is to use the technology to your advantage, because There is this big thing, or has been this big thing. I think people are waking up now to see where AI is, but like everyone's, oh, it's going to take our jobs, and I've been attacked online by certain people, saying, oh, you're taking people's livelihoods away and stuff like that. I think if you look at any technology over time, even going back to when the car was, first built, for me, like, they're like, oh, horses are not going to be used again. They're still used today, but some for the wrong reasons. However, for me, I think if you can leverage voice AI in particular, cloning your voice, because God knows it. If you don't clone your voice and you have an accident or anything, or you lose your voice for a few months, or for the rest of your life, that you're losing your livelihood there. So clone your voice. That's my advice. Make sure that it's licensed. Make sure that you do it. Make sure you do everything the way that it should be done. And you leverage it. You can generate more revenue by using your voice. Yeah, I know, obviously, right now, I'm very transparent about this. The cloning is really good. Is it on the level of a human? No, not yet. Will it be? Yes, of course. When will that happen? Say in the next couple of years at the very most. Where you won't be able to tell the difference. Some people can't tell the difference now, but people like, your audience,
Yeah,
voice
I can.
artist, they can hear it,
Well, and
right?
here's
They
the
really
thing. Even if you can't tell the difference, your brain can.
Yes.
And if I listen to it long enough, I get this pain between my
There you
eyes.
go.
I don't know
Yeah.
why,
Yeah.
right? So yeah, I get what you're saying when it's not there yet. 'Cause even if it
Yeah,
is
and
there, it's not.
Yeah, I think that, for voice artists, that there's still a lot of shelf life left of us all right now. I'm not a voice artist, but I completely support voice artists. I'm not here to, or we're not here to, to take over that industry. We're here to see what can we do together to support voice artists, to support our enterprise clients, and find that happy medium of where we can all win from it, right? There's some companies out there, AI companies, that just want to take over the human race. We're not one of them. We want to, be the advocates of voice artists. So, feedback from voice artists, I'll definitely be checking comments. Please feel free to reach out to me, whether it's on LinkedIn, and give me your opinions, share with us, because what it does, it educates me and our company to find ways to be able to support you guys. That's I'm open to being critiqued. I'm open to learning. I'm open to being in a position where how can we work as a team? That's what I would say.
I am really glad I asked that question because I have never heard or even thought that I would hear advice to voice actors to be clone your voice.
Own your voice, because at some point in the future, once the voice AI gets to that level, then we will start, unfortunately, start to see, the traditional methods, the human methods of voice, start to, to deplete. And I want to protect those people,
And I
because,
worry about this. I
yeah.
if, not just from a voice actor perspective, but from a translator perspective too,
Yeah.
because there is people that are linguists right now. Because you say, what advice would I have for linguists? And it would be largely the same as what you just said, is embrace the technology. You're not going to lose your job. The guy next to you, who without technology is going to lose their job, right? All of those things. That's my advice to them, right? But if you asked me, if someone asked me advice on what should I major in college, I probably wouldn't say become a linguist. You know what I'm
No.
saying? So it's like I'm supportive of linguists, but let's be real, I probably wouldn't support. And I think people are pretty smart. There's not a whole lot of new linguists entering the market. So what I worry about
Yeah.
is this gap, because we're going to get to a point where the technology is not quite there yet,
So
but
true.
no new linguists are entering the market, right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how the economics of that are going to work out. I could foresee a situation where those linguists that are still in the market just become really high demand for high profile projects or something. I don't know, but I think about it quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think what we're seeing, like some of the GPTs that are out there right now, the accuracy, like for instance, Whisper and Claude and some of these others, the accuracy is fantastic. However, it's not in a position where it feels human-like. And humans want to feel human-like. Humans want to deal with humans. They don't want to speak to computers right now. We've not evolved to that level yet because it's the AI is all fairly new still, right? Yeah, AI has been around for 20 years. It's obviously come to the forefront over the past 5 to 7 years. But as humans, we're built differently. We have emotions, we have frequencies, we have connections. And I think where I see things right now is that AI wouldn't be around if it wasn't for us, right? So we need to find ways to still take advantage of that and use, for instance, human translation is still based on the fact that linguists are no more than what AI does right now, right? Because the data sets and it's being fed. But yes, it can translate a book, in 10 minutes, but is it translated in a way that when a human reads it,
Evokes the
does it give?
emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's where that, like you say, there's a gap right now. But I think, if we keep sort of let me just think of the term. If we keep evolving in a way to understand how we can take advantage of AI, I think, there's legs left in humans for many more years to come.
Yeah, well, do you think, I mean, just to challenge an assumption that you said and that I had until I just thought about it is, there's always this need for human because humans want to feel like they're talking to another human. I'm not so sure about Gen Z. Like these
I
people
think
that
that's
are
different, yeah.
perpetually online
100%.
and like avoid like the are we're of the same generation, you and I. And we remember when you actually had to knock on a door that you didn't know if someone was going to answer. We remember when you actually had to pick up a phone without caller ID. You had no idea who was on the other line. That shuts down the next. I'm not even talking
Definitely.
Gen Z. I'm talking about whatever was
No.
before Gen, like the next one with the 20s and 30-year-olds nowadays,
Yeah,
right?
I think so too. I think that's basically down to experience as well. Obviously, like you said, we used to knock on people's doors. We had to go round to our friends' houses, right? There was no social media, so we had to communicate better between. We were living, for me, what life's about. And I wouldn't say it's a shame, but obviously with the advancements in technology now, even with social media, the you couldn't put Gen Z back into the 80s and they would survive very long.
I'd be in jail if there was social media in the 80s
I
and
would be very
90s.
worried for them with what we experienced in our teenage years and even before that. So for me, I feel like that's where the monumental shift will happen over the next decade to two
Yeah.
decades of where the people that were born in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, maybe even a little bit of the 90s, where we'll be like we will be in a museum somewhere.
Yeah. And our grandchildren will be trying desperately to teach us about God knows what technology. Like, just turn on your neural implant, Grandpa. I told you.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm 48 now, and I'm happy that I'm not going to be part of that world.
Personally,
I really am.
selfishly, I think I was born at the best possible time. I would rather there was no time in human history or in human future where I would rather be born. So I feel
And
very
I think,
grateful.
yeah, and I'm hoping a lot of your viewers and people who see this, the 80s for me was just unbelievable. The 80s and early 90s, that was my best time. That was my best time of my life since my daughter was born. And you can't replicate that ever again, in human form anyway. So I think for me, I love technology. I love, seeing things evolve. But I feel like the way that the world is right now, without going again too deep, I think the world needs more connection because it's so disconnected right now. And there's ways that we can do that using AI. And I think we're at a very monumental point in our lives where we have to really take a step back and see what can AI do to help us. What's it not helping with? And I think if we can distinguish between that, then we have a good chance of extending that period of human existence.
Very, very well put. Very well put. All right, Let's move on. I want to talk about like the different technologies. I think that'll be a good place. It's kind of like a lightning round. So, I'm not going to be able to remember all the. Oh, I have a list. I should pull it up. But anyways, text to speech.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? Just give a short burst answer on where it is and
Yeah, just a quick short burst answer. Like, yep, it's good to go.
yeah.
We're not using a rating scale or anything here.
Yeah, okay. Text to speech. Great technology, can help in many areas of life. But it still has a lot more room to improve.
Yeah, a lot of these things are going to be like text-to-speech in English, great. In Swahili, maybe not, right?
It has its benefits, but it also has its limitations.
Sure. What about well, you mentioned it, voice cloning. Where are we with that in terms of how much more improvement is left to go?
Well, I've seen over the past 2 years a lot of advancements in voice cloning. I think again, this is also down to particular languages, particular accents. That again has a ceiling right now to which has limitations. But I think voice cloning again can be, great for things like for people who have speech impediments or issues. There was a lady I used to live by, and she lost her voice, and you could see how frustrated she was. So, I think having your own voice rather than having like a strange AI voice, I think, for me, voice cloning is a great, for me, it's one of my favorite technologies at the moment because it can offer so much to the world. So yeah, I think I love voice cloning, and I think by the end of this year, probably Q1 of next year, voice cloning will be in a position where it's actually more of a benefit, and people are then finding how difficult it is to distinguish between whether is that real or whether it's
Yeah.
voice AI.
Wow, that quick. Wow,
100%.
interesting. What about multilingual dubbing with lip syncing?
That's probably my baby right now. And lip syncing for me plays a really important role, not just in VSL, but for the audience. And again, this is sort of where we're at. I'll try not to make this one too long because it is a passion of
No,
mine.
please go on because it's
Okay.
fascinating the work that's
All
being done
right.
here.
Well, I've just seen, over the past 2 years with models that we've been building and the way the accuracy for lip syncing, for me, the lip syncing needs to be perfect. Otherwise, it's pointless doing it,
Yeah, if you
in
can
my
tell
opinion.
at all, but then it ruins the
But in,
experience. It's
yeah,
yeah, if
definitely,
it's
definitely. Yeah, 100%. I think that for me, if it's like anything we do, like I do, if you're going to do it, you do it right. If it's not right, then don't share it with the world. So yeah, don't get me wrong, VSL's lip syncing is not perfect right now. But lip syncing is so important for engagement. And again, what we're doing with our users, in particular the enterprise clients, because a lot of them we're having to educate them on the basis that they're just using dubbing. And I live in Southeast Asia, and when I go to the cinema, I watch a movie which is in English, and the audience is watching the action and reading the subtitles. Now they're not chameleons, right? So, or we're not chameleons, so our eyes don't work independently. So you're trying to read what's happening, you're trying to watch what's going on, and then again, and the term that I've used a few times here, there's a disconnect, there's a loss of engagement. So for me, lip syncing plays a pivotal role and of such an important role for content that can be localized, and you can remove those subtitles. That I know that people who do the subtitles, and there's a lot of AI using subtitles now, but I want to remove subtitles. And the way we do that is by providing the best lip sync available. So for me, it plays an important role in video
And
localization.
that too is an accessibility solution too, because there is a and we take it for granted, those of us that come from places where like you and I come from, take it for granted, literacy rates for granted. But a big chunk of the world
100%.
doesn't speak English, and does that mean they get no access to entertainment in their local language? Right? So
Definitely. It is, I think it's the case.
pretty much all of the world under seven doesn't read, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to go to kids, it's got to be dubbing. But just one quick follow-up question on the lip syncing is for the lip syncing, do you try to use AI to try to fit the dub to the lips, or do you use AI to manipulate the lips of the speaker, or
Yeah.
both?
Yeah. So,
Because I've talked to people that do both ways, and I'm
yeah. So
wondering what your thoughts.
we tried to sit in the middle of that.
Okay.
So previously, one of our models 2 years ago was solely focusing on the lips. Now, what we have inside of VSL focuses on the whole face. So for
I
expression,
see. I see. Okay.
it's like if they're saying something and they're not frowning, or they are frowning and saying something, because obviously your expressions on your face make a big difference to how someone perceives what you're saying, right?
Well, and
So
that's
it's like,
true in
hey,
different cultures, facial
right? Yeah,
expressions
so,
mean different
yeah,
things.
definitely. And that's where we are now. From 2 years ago, the technology wasn't ready. Now we're focusing on the whole face, and it's adding more accuracy to the dubbing. And yeah, we're in the right in the middle where we sit on both sides of what you've mentioned. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're confident. Why we will succeed in this space, because unfortunately there's a lot out there and they show you the best. I put a post out on LinkedIn last week, or earlier this week, whenever it was, and we show the best and the worst. So we want people to know. Yeah, we want people to see, oh my God, that's awful, and some of the stuff can be, but we don't want to just show you all the best ones, like the Nick Cage video. That was one run. We put them video we put three separate videos together because it was perfect. The distance from the camera and the lighting and everything that was there. Yeah, this video here. If you haven't seen it, guys, go and check it out. It's just fantastic. And for me, the goal is to make sure that the lip syncing is as a good quality as the dubbing. And at the moment, they're like neck and neck. So we want to make sure that that stays the same.
So now I'm torn. Do I want to show this to our audience before we close, or do I want to leave a cliffhanger and encourage them to
Leave a
go?
cliffhanger.
Let we're cl
Leave
You guys got to go. VSL Global, all one word, dot AI, and you can go check that out for yourself. Yeah, Jay, I that about because I this perfect segue because the last thing I was gonna do was say, hey, where's your
cliffhanger.
website? Where can people
Yeah.
contact you? But I'll say, how can people find you? What's the best way to get in contact? They want to
Well,
find
yeah, it
out
depends
more.
on what they're looking for. If they want to pick my brains, or they can educate me. They've learned something in here today, but they maybe disagree with it. Then please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I've always make time for people, especially when I'm learning from it. So you can check our website out, which you've just given. And this chat really for me was more about sort of giving my opinions on the space. And our product, we're very passionate about VSL. It's not just a tool for us. We're building communities. We're entering into new spaces with the technology. And we'll keep learning, keep moving forward. And yeah, I love being able to communicate with people. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've done for 25 years. Communication's key in my life, or from my personal life to business. And yeah, please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn if you think you can help us, you think we can help you, then I've got as much time as you need.
Awesome. And you know what I appreciate? I interviewed you, and now I want to go find out more about like what your actual tool does. Because and I
Yeah.
appreciate that because this podcast, we went the full hour, and this
Yeah.
wasn't a tech demo. This wasn't you hawking your wares. This was us
Oh
having a
no.
really fun conversation, geeking out.
Yeah, I
And
actually hate doing that.
oh, good. Good. Me
Yeah,
too.
I just want to have a conversation. I speak about VSL every day, so it's refreshing to speak to someone like you, Tucker. I love you guys over at NIMSY, and for me, we're opening new doors, and I've got a call tomorrow with some of your colleagues. And yeah, we want to grow, we want to learn, we want to support people. And we just want to, do the right thing and make sure that our tool is different to the majority that are out there, and people see that, we're doing this in ethical reasons.
Yeah.
And money The money will come.
It's important.
The most important thing for us is making sure that people who use our tool know what it can do, know what it can't do, and, you know, grow with us as we grow with them.
Awesome. Well, you're welcome back anytime. If you want, and if you don't want to come back and prefer to send a salesman to shamelessly hawk your ware, you can do that too. But
I tell you what we'll do. Once we get a little bit further later this year, and I'm very critical of our product, but once I'm more happier, I'll come back and I'll show off some things that we can do.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds good. All right. I'm going to take us out. Stick around and we can chat afterwards. I'll take us out here. Ladies, gentlemen, chat. We are out of time for today. If you like this NIMSY Live experience, then join us next time. On Thursday, we're talking about NIMSY 100. Join us. I appreciate our guests today, Jay Lohman. I appreciate all my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all the hard work. And I appreciate you, the audience. Thank you for joining us live today. And we will see you all next time. Goodbye.